Holy Week started with a donkey, so it's appropriate that we start today's thinking about what animals can teach us about the cross with donkeys. In fact, we not only start Holy Week with a donkey, but Christmas as well, and some of you will be aware of that lovely, but now out-of-print book called Donkey's Glory, where a story is woven round three related animals. The first one, Trotamenu, bringing Mary to Bethlehem, her daughter Nluma, observing some of Jesus' healing miracles, and her son Laban being the one ridden on Palm Sunday. Total fantasy, of course, not least because there's no mention of a donkey in the text of the Christmas story. But it's reasonable to assume there was one, because from very ancient times, the donkey was the normal means of transport for people of all kinds. I love U.A. Fanthorpe's Christmas poem, What the Donkey Saw. No room at the inn, of course, and not that much in the stable. What with the shepherds, Magi, Mary, Joseph, the heavenly host, not to mention the baby using our manger as a cot, you couldn't have squeezed another cherub in for love or money. Still, in spite of the overcrowding, I did my best to make them feel wanted. I could see that the baby and I would be going places together. In later years, the horse became the preferred animal for the rich and powerful, but in ancient times, so king and peasant all was riding on a donkey. And of course, it was also the pack animal, the carrier of goods to and from the market, the bearer of heavy loads. And that reminds me of the line in the hymn, The Servant King. There in the Garden of Tears, my heavy load he chose to bear. The donkey carried things that human beings were too weak to carry. And part of our picture of what happens on the cross is that Jesus takes on himself the sinfulness of everyone, the things that cripple us and disable us, that root us to the spot. Think how we use that language. It's all too much for me to bear, we say when things get on top of us, grief and suffering or whatever it may be. We can't carry it by ourselves. The agony in the garden is about Jesus wrestling with the decision to be the burden carrier for us. So in addition to Christ on a donkey, which we'll come to think about in a moment, we have perhaps the more unusual concept of Christ as a donkey, the willing carrier of burdens that we cannot carry for ourselves. On the cross he did what we could not do for ourselves. And perhaps we should take a moment to reflect on journeying, an activity which in the ancient world couldn't have happened without donkeys. We rightly talk a lot these days about the Christian journey. It's a picture that many people find helpful. For example, it's embedded in our baptism services. We say the child begins their journey in faith. In an era where travel tends to be speedy, that's worth pondering. We tend to look for the shortest journey time, how to get from A to B in the quickest way. Maybe there's a risk of trying to do that with our spiritual journey as well, taking the express train route to God rather than the slow plodding of the donkey. I suspect the speedway is the wrong way to do things. Like so many important things, the spiritual journey can't be rushed. One more step along the world I go, says the children's hymn, and we're wise to keep that speed all the way through life. But we do need to go on journeying. If we think we've ever arrived, then we've got it wrong. Pippa's parents had a next-door neighbour who had been a missionary. I only knew him as a very elderly man, but my abiding memory is his going off to find a book and bringing it to show me, saying, I've just been reading this, and you know, I never thought. I can't remember what it was that he'd struck him as new, but it seemed in great contrast to the many older people I knew who didn't seem to want to have any new insights at all. As long as we live, the donkey sets us the example of steady plodding onwards. There are other significant biblical donkeys, not least the talking donkey in the wonderful story of Balaam, who sees angels when Balaam can't, and the lost donkeys, which are the means whereby Samuel meets with Saul and anoints him. But we need to come to that biblical donkey we heard about on Sunday and again just now. Here is Matthew telling the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem as a fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah. Matthew, of course, is so anxious to see that fulfillment that he tells the story in a somewhat impossible way, but the disciples put their cloaks on both the mother and young donkey, an animal that had never been ridden, and Jesus rides both, not a likely image. Matthew, of course, is misunderstanding Zechariah's poetic parallelism. Hebrew poetry often says the same things twice, in two ways, if you see what I mean and catch my meaning. So Zechariah only had one animal in mind. There may well have been the two animals. A young foal would walk alongside its mother to learn the trade, as it were, but it wouldn't have been the one that Jesus rode. One scholar whose childhood had been on a farm said that if Jesus rode on an unbroken donkey foal, it was probably his greatest miracle. The significance of the unridden colt is that, according to ancient tradition, no one else can use a king's animal. Maybe it had only been used for baggage before. But Mark and Matthew are anxious to point out that this first usage was there, so they must have had a reason, and the one I've just mentioned makes sense in the context of what they're trying to say about Jesus. But the symbolism of the donkey is important. I said that in ancient times everyone rode donkeys, but by the time of Jesus, a leader, a king, a general or whatever, would never have dreamt of riding a donkey. He would ride a horse, perhaps not the huge war horses of later years, but a much more macho animal which represented his power and authority. So although the crowd recognise the coming of a king and greet him in that way, they find it's a king who comes in peace, not to fight. He comes on the people's animal, not the ruler's. Here, as with so many things, he identifies himself with the ordinary people, the have-nots. He may be a king, but he is a servant king. He is a donkey king, not a horse king. And that is a paradox which runs through so much of what we have to face today. We talk of Christ reigning from the cross, of the triumph of the cross, and yet we see apparent defeat and suffering. Well, not apparent, but real defeat, real suffering. Yet he remains the king, as Pilate admits after he's questioned him. So you are a king then. And Jesus tries to explain what his kind of kingship is all about and how different it is from the power-hungry kingship that people saw in secular rulers. Maybe it's not too far-fetched to remember that donkeys are incredibly stubborn creatures. They have a mind of their own, it seems, and will not be bullied. And is not that also part of the story of Jesus, which comes to its inevitable conclusion today? People wanted Jesus to be another kind of king, someone who would drive the Romans out. He was under pressure from the days of the temptations onwards to conform to other people's expectations. He has continually to dig his heels in, refuse to compromise. Jesus was as stubborn as a donkey can be. He was determined to fulfill his calling. He'd been saying that to his disciples as he prepared them for what was going to happen in Jerusalem, that he set his face towards Jerusalem, a phrase of huge determination. So maybe we can reflect on how far we understand Jesus to be the servant king, and about our own plodding faith journey and where it has got to so far.